Good evening. Let's open up our Bibles, please, to the book of James, chapter 4. Continuing on the series titled Humility is Stronger Than Pride. Humility is stronger than pride. This is such an important subject, humility versus pride. Probably one of the least taught, but one of the most needed and the most important subjects in Christianity, period. We get into the kingdom of God through humility. We grow more intimate with the triune God through humility. And the greatest opposition, the greatest enemy towards both is pride. James chapter 4. It's hard to break in. Let's start at verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members, that war in your flesh, your unredeemed nature? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers, adulteress, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity or is against God? Whosoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world make himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? In other words, the spirit, the Holy Spirit within us desires greatly and has a jealous nature of wooing us to the Father through the Son. But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And he's quoting out of the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 35. Verse 34, I'm sorry. They're literally quoting, especially the last part, but gives grace to the humble from Proverbs 3, verse 34. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, it's very interesting that these last couple of verses, they kind of parallel the Sermon on the Mount. All the attitudes that Jesus talks about in the beginning of Matthew 5, all of those attributes are fast. This is not my subject, but they're facets of humility. They're almost like a description of what a humble life is. And he basically does it again. Mourn, weep. joy, mourning. And so even in Jesus' sermons, even the Sermon on the Mount is a message of humility, how to walk in humility. And for that context, you could say the whole sermon is him laying a foundation of humility that's going to enable you to walk in this kingdom that he's now presenting. Pride is the most deceptive sin of all. It is the most damnable, dangerous, destructive, dishonorable, and disgusting of all the sins. For it is the fountainhead from which all sin flows. Let's turn to Proverbs 16. Probably one of the most misquoted verses in the entire Bible. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Most people quoted pride goes before fall. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. Even though the general meaning is the same. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Now, in the Hebrew Bible, in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, this verse is exactly in the middle of the book. It's the center verse of the entire book of Proverbs in the Hebrew Bible. And so most believe that this verse is a master key as you go to verse 19. Better to be of humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now, I'm going to give you verse 18, a paraphrase of mine. Proud attitudes, and I will go slow with this one. Proud attitudes leads to arrogant actions, resulting in substantial loss at tremendous cost. Proud attitudes leads to arrogant actions, resulting in substantial loss at tremendous cost. As I studied pride more and more over the years, I begin to see, just like humility is an attitude of the heart, but yet is demonstrated in a modest life. Or you can say it this way, in a life of agape love. Pride is an attitude of the heart that is manifested in arrogant actions. Proverbs 16, verse 5, and there are other verses that talk about a proud heart, a proud attitude. Now, the mysterious thing about pride, it is the most deceptive of all sin because it's an attitude of the heart. And because it's an attitude of the heart, you can be deceived, like we've been teaching, that pride in one of the definitions is smoke. In other words, it can envelop your perception. It can blind you, literally blind you, from you seeing it in your own life. There have been times where I would have made a decision maybe months ago, years ago, and only as I matured that I began to see that I was in so much pride. That decision was such way off of what God wanted, but at the time, I thought I was hearing from God. But I was only hearing my own heart. And so pride is such, it's almost eerie how deceptive it is. Going back to James, you don't have to turn there. Going back to James 4, says God gives grace to the humble. We said that humble is the one who trusts God, is reliant upon God, who depends upon God, who leans upon him, and not our own strength, not our own wisdom. And so there's this thing about some are endeavoring to get closer to God, but they never evaluate themselves. They never judge themselves in the area of pride. And it's almost like there's a wall there in the relationship with the Lord, and they don't know why. Well, this is the first area we must judge ourselves in. Pride blinds and brings self-deception. Which conceals one to their own faults. Yet these faults are so obvious to others. Pride blinds and brings self-deception, which conceals one to their own faults. That is so obvious to others. In other words, we call that a blind spot. I remember one time the Lord was endeavoring to get me to change in a particular area, and really, I thought I had, but I hadn't. And so he gave me a dream. And in the dream, amongst other things, I saw myself looking in a rearview mirror. And he was showing me that I had a blind spot still pertaining to a particular area of my life. And he wanted me to focus on that. But it was just interesting how he did the analogy of the mirror. You know, without the mirror, I wouldn't have been able to see it. But because he had a mirror there, I could look over there and see the blind spot on the side that I couldn't see it, you know, in the car if I'm going to change lanes. And so this issue of blind spots is why it's so important to be in relationships. Because if we're open and accountable, relationships can benefit us to our blind spots. Pride keeps a person from admitting their sin and from truly repenting. It leads one to be stubborn. And all stubbornness is self-worship. You know, in its very core, that's what pride is, worshiping yourself, worshiping your ideas. But stubbornness is to the point where even if truth is brought to your face in black and white, with the Holy Spirit having a glory around that, a person who's stubborn still wouldn't change because of pride. Have to be right. How many times in relationships, marriages, you argue, you fuss and fight because you have to be right? There have been times I would be in a relationship and we'd be going back and forth. And even if in the middle of the argument, I realize they're right. Bless God, I'm not going to let them know I know that. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. So pride is an obstacle to our faith in our relationship with the Lord. Sometimes we're believing for certain things and we don't see any results. It's God resisting our requests. God resists the proud. Psalms 138, verse 6 says, the proud, God knows them from afar. You can never be intimate, even if you're a believer. You never can be intimate with him. You have no desire to pray on an intimate or regular basis. And one of the greatest thermometers of your pride level is the infrequency of your prayers, your prayer time with him. Boy, that's hard to swallow. That's hard to swallow. Your intimacy with the Lord, or the lack thereof, can be seen in your communion or lack thereof with the Lord. Now, you know, I know this may not sound right, okay, but listen closely and I believe the Holy Spirit will show you. God does not have faith, but he has intimates. He has those who are more intimate with him. Did that make sense? You know, you may have 8 or 9 children, and you may not have favorites. And then again, you may. To be honest with you, it's hard not. You're not supposed to show favorites. But you have some who want to spend more time with you than others. Right. And that has a special place in your heart, especially as you get older. And they have, and they get older, and they have choices to do all kinds of stuff with all kinds of people. But yet, and still, they're constantly calling you, wanting to talk with you. Pride keeps us from asking help from other people. James 4 also makes this point. As you draw near to him, he draws near to you. Who initiates it, though? That's what the verse said. So as you decide, humility is a decision. It's not a feeling. You have to decide to be humble and pursue humility. You initiate it. And I'm telling you, something in the heart of God delights in a believer who trusts him, who's absolute in their trust, absolute in their reliance and dependence upon him. And that's why grace is, because God is closer. Pride is an obstacle to our faith towards God. Like I said, it keeps us from asking for help from others. One poet puts it this way: the greatest of all faults is to be conscious of none. Did you hear that? Is that profound? The greatest of all faults is to be conscious of none. Thomas Carlyle. And this is something the Lord gave me one time. Speaking about ourselves is a subject we are all knowledgeable in. Instead of in, knowledgeable about, put about. And a language we are all fluid in. Speaking about ourselves is a subject we are all knowledgeable about, and a language we are all fluid in. How many times you can get in a relationship, get in a discussion with anybody, and they start sharing about themselves, things that they've accomplished, what they have, and how it's so easy to try to top them or share as much about yourself as they are about them. We all are familiar with, if you are in a picture, someone has taken you within a group picture, and they show you the picture, who's the first person you're looking for? Yourself. If you're honest. Some don't come up here talking about, oh, bro, I'm looking at everybody. No, you want to see how you look, was your hair right? Was it much shadow on you? Was your head hidden from somebody else's big head? Pride is independence from God in its deepest core and reliance upon yourself. Pride leads to disobedience. Humility leads to obedience. False humility is a form of pride and probably the most dangerous of all forms. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 and verse 23 talks about there's a false humility. A false humility is a humility that you're trying to act humble, but you're really not. You're just putting on airs that you are. Pride is so tricky that you can be at a place where you believe that you're dependent upon God, you're relying upon Him. But in a whole nother area, you're real prideful. You have no trouble with foul language. But put you in a situation where you can take something that you want and that is valuable, and you'll have a weakness of stealing it, trying to steal it. Let's go to Proverbs 25. Never get to the place, and this is here's another subtle area. Never get in the place where you say, when you hear that someone has fallen in a certain way or has a weakness or did something really just off the scale for you, never say, well, bless God, I would never do that. The thing about our unredeemed sinful nature in our members, and this may sound really bad, and you probably say, not me, brother. But all of us are capable. We are literally capable. If we're put in the right situation or the wrong situation, and the temptation is great enough that you think you can get away with it, and you think you can get away with it, and you never know what you would do. Let me give you an example. This is an extreme example, but I'm just presenting it. Let's say one of your children got raped and murdered, and they caught the person. And you hear in the past that certain parents, and I'm sure you've seen it in the court when they bring the arraignment up, parents leaping over chairs trying to get to the person to kill them. You don't know what you're feeling. I mean, you don't know. And I'm saying this hypothetically. I'm just saying. You don't know how you're going to feel. You may think you know. You may hope to act a certain way. Well, brother, I probably would forgive them right from the beginning. I've seen others who've done it, and I know that he's in my heart, and I know I would do it too. Maybe you would. But I'm just saying, the thing about the heart, the Bible says in Jeremiah, it is deceitfully wicked. It's foul beyond compare of anything else. Our faith is we would do what he would want us to do. And that's where we should mature ourselves so we will react according to what the scripture says, and we have an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit that he's able to do certain things. But don't sit there and judge other people. That's pride. That's a superior attitude. And we can go on with analogies. Where did I say? Proverbs 25. Verse 27. It is not good to eat much honey, so to seek one's own glory is not glory. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. 28 is the real thing I want. Listen very closely. The strength of an addiction is pride. Most people endeavor, especially believers, endeavor to pray that God takes away this particular weakness. But that weakness is so ingrained in your flesh that it's something that you are going to have to decide to take care of. And it can only happen through humility, depending on the Lord, depending on his wisdom, his strength, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There have been times in my life I tried to deal with a certain thing that I was wrestling with and did not realize I was doing it in my own strength. I was attempting to do it in my own strength, thinking I was allowing the Holy Spirit, but it's such a thin line. A man who's decided to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with a certain area is a humble man. Pride tries to take care of it itself on its own terms. A man in pride is like a city broken down without walls. He's unable to rule his own spirit. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He who is often rebuked and hardens his neck will suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. A person who does not humble himself, receive correction, and gets more stubborn, hard in the neck, will suddenly be destroyed and without remedy. The Good News Translation says, if you get more stubborn every time you are corrected, one day you will be crushed and never recover. God's Word Translation, a person who will not bend after many warnings will suddenly be broken beyond repair. The Message, for people who hate discipline and only get more stubborn, there will come a day when life tumbles in and they break, but by then, it'll be too late to help them. New Century Version. Whoever is stubborn after being corrected many times will suddenly be hurt beyond cure. So humility, in a nutshell, in what I'm saying, is the key to holiness. It's the key to holiness. In Greek mythology, you have the character named Narcissus. Narcissus was a young man who was so attractive, so handsome, that everywhere he went, people would stare at him. So many young women wanted to be with him. It got to the point in his life that he did not like the attention. He didn't understand what the whole issue was, and he had this air about him. One day he went in the woods, and one of the characters, Echo was in the woods. She saw him for the first time, and he asked, "Who's following me?" And Echo says, "Who's following me?" And so he left the woods, and Echo was so hurt that he left the woods. The gods looked at his life, and they did not like his attitude. So one goddess led him back into an area where there was a river or a pond. Led him to the pond. He looked in the pond, and for the first time, he saw his reflection. And it was the first time that he wanted a relationship with that person that he saw. He didn't realize it was himself. He thought it was another person. And he stayed at that pond, looking at his own reflection, and fell in love with his own reflection, fell in love with himself. Stayed there for months. Would not eat, would not sleep. He just stared until he died. He was so in love with himself. There's even a narcissist plant that they said came up out of his death. There are people who are so consumed with themselves. They don't hardly see anybody else. They don't care about anybody else. Everything is about themselves. That's the ultimate of pride, is to have a life that everything that you do is catered to, is you jockeying for a vantage for yourself. That's a dangerous place to be in. Prideful actions lead to more irrational decisions. Pride brings more bondage in your life. Humility brings more freedom. Wherever there's pride, well, let me put it this way. Pride's favorite tool is lying. That's the deceptive part of it. Lying to others and lying to yourself. Pride's favorite tool is lying. Pride uses lying to protect the perceived positive image of ourselves. To keep from being seen in a negative light, or to keep you from being embarrassed. Now, there are so many other reasons for lying, but that's another teaching, but I wanted to bring this point out. Whenever you're endeavoring to protect how people view you, lying is pride's favorite tool. Now, whether that is a half-truth, which is partial truth, half-truth, partial truth is still a lie. The closer the lie is to the truth, the greater the deception. You would think it's the opposite. But that lie is more believable than one that's way off. Pride leads to idolatry, self-worship, while humility leads to worship of God.